I don't want it to block the... I was just going to say, though, that it's one of the few mitzvahs that we have today, all the time. You know, if you keep your eyes open, a person can get this mitzvah. And also, you can sometimes keep it. So that's the matzah begal. Let's say you find something in a pile, or ubakosel yashan, or an old wall. So you can keep it. Hari l'shelo. It's long, the owner's long gone. Matzah bakosel chadash. You find it in a new wall. I wonder what they call a new wall. I don't know exactly, but relatively new. So then it depends. Mechetze l'chutz. If you find it on the outside. In other words, a wall is in between private property and public property. So if you find it from the outside, in the cracks on the outside, so whoever put it there is long ago, you know, it's a wayfarer. It's you know, it can be taken. Shalom. If you find it on the inside, mechzir lifnim, on the inside of his property, shel bala bayis, then it belongs to the owner of the house. Imayo maskil acherim, what about if this house is a rental? So that there's always different people inside, afilu besocha bayis, even inside the house, you could keep it.
Even by a chadash, right? When Yehuds, toward the Rishus Aram, wouldn't you imagine something like that is the simon is the makom? I mean, the Mishnah is saying, no, Avraham, it's not. I understand that, but
So... The question is, well, you put it in a certain place, so that means that you could identify it, but I guess also because the public has access to it, so and it's almost like you've given up your ownership because it's you know that it's not like you're the only one who has access to it. The people that walk by that wall, it's not hidden per se. It's something that's there, so it's almost like. I want to say like almost like an Aveda Midas kind of thing, you know, like that's what I would think. But you're correct. In other words, if I knew that I slipped it in between the stones, the third stone on the top or something, you know, it's that's a unique place. But let's see, keep our eyes open. Tana, the Gemara says, Mimneshi Yocholom, we are just starting the Gemara on the bottom of 25B. So... The question is, why is it that you could keep it? Shouldn't it belong to the owner of the house or the owner of the wall? If you find it in a mound, it should belong to whoever's construction material. If he owns the house and now the bricks fell down, shouldn't he get what's in the bricks? So the Gemara explained, Neshi Yocho Lomerlo, because you could say to him, She'amo Royim Hein. That it belongs to the previous peoples that lived there. Eretz Yisrael is it's interesting. You could live in a place in Eretz Yisrael that's 1,000 years old, you know, like the or hundreds of years old. Like the they have buildings there that you go, and the wall, some of the walls are just from ancient times. And so, if the walls finally fall down, the stuff in them belongs to the peoples that were there. So the Gemara says, "Well, wait a second. Atu Amori Mitzniu Yisrael Lo Mitzniu." If somebody put stuff in there a long time ago, they could put stuff in there now. Why would you assume that it goes to, you know, 10 generations back that are long gone? Maybe it belongs to the current owner. So the Gemara says, Lostricha deshusik tfei. It's very rusted. So clearly it's not from the current owner. So it's interesting, though, you don't say the current owner acquires it, because since it faces the outside. In other words, what faces the inside towards his property, that's going to belong to him. But what faces the outside, it wasn't put there by him. It was put there by earlier peoples or somebody long time ago. So therefore, it's free to anybody. Okay. Tosus has this question as well, that isn't it his wall? Like, I guess it depends on is the wall like on the property line or is it on his side? But let's see the Tosas very quickly on the top of today's page. The Shusik, it's very rusted. V'im tomar v'litni lechatzeru lebalagaro. Let the owner of the property acquire it. O lebalakoso, either the owner of the mound or the wall, who cares that it was there from previous generations? He's the new owner. Yesh lomer de'ein chatzer kana b'davar sheyocha liyol shelo yimstenu la'olam. So Tosu wants to say, if you're never going to find it, it doesn't necessarily belong to you. It's an interesting idea. Like it's almost like if it's going to be found while you're there, maybe it would belong to you. But these are things from ancient times. There is a certain what happens when people find antiques or they find ancient things. Does it go to you or in Israel they like to give it to the state? You know, they decided they own everything you find. So if you find coins in Israel, you're supposed to hand it over to the. Doesn't sound like everybody does that, but over here he's saying that if you would acquire things that you would naturally run across, but something that's inside the stones, it had to be put there by the original builders, and it's going to stay there for generations. We don't say that a given owner acquires it. That's the Kiddush of this Tosus, but let's go weiter. Okay. Ubechosel Chadosh, we set a new wall from the end.
You're talking about Kinyan Chatzah then, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you would think, you think Kinyan Chatzah would grant that on him. You
know? That's Tosus' question. Right. I thought he was just going to say because it faces the outside, but he doesn't say that. He says that things that are so deeply buried that you may never uncover, Kinyan Chatzer doesn't work for it. It comes almost like Kinyan Chatzer is like what you would normally come across, so we say it goes to you. You have control over what you're aware of. If you don't even know what's buried there, you can't say that you have acquired it, almost.
That's a big chiddush, because that then applies, you know, across the board, not just in this case with stuff in the wall, but you could take that principle and apply it to anything in halacha.
Like, what if you found oil, you know, or you found a natural gas, you know? Yeah, correct. That's right. Yeah, I don't know if that's an accepted idea or not. I just but I would say Kinyan means that you exhibit a certain control over it. But when you don't even know it's there, it was put there by, you know, when the original tribes built that wall 800 years ago, they put it inside the wall.
Well, that's the point. Do you really need to know that? If it's on your property, like same thing with a get. You throw the get into the yard. The wife doesn't know that it's there, but her property acquires it for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. So that's exactly the chiddush, right? Is that Tosus is saying that the reason it's yours is not just because it's on your property, but because you'll come across it almost like it's a. I wouldn't have known that. Correct.
There was a famous case a few years ago where a person bought a set of shas from a secondhand svarim store, and while learning it, he found out that it was Rabbi Akiva Eger's actual, with his notes on the side, and therefore it was worth $50,000, that set of shas. And the secondhand svarim store found out about it, and they said, "It's ours! You know, we have it." And the question went to Rabbi Zilberstein, and he said, based on this Tosfos here, in Bav Metzia, since it is very likely that they never would have seen it at all, they were never Kona that shas, and therefore it belongs to the new owner.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Paskin that, you know? Yeah.
I see. They were trying to say it was a Mecca Tos. We didn't, you know, you never paid us for the Rabbi Kager shas. You paid us for...
He also said, on a spiritual level, the lesson for us to take is that you can have something, but if you don't know it, if you don't appreciate it, then it's like you never had it, you know?
They didn't learn that close in that shot.
That's right. So I wanted to go to the Noach Muroff case, you know, where he found money in the desk, you know. Was that something that... There was somebody here who had bought a used desk, and... So were they cleaning for Pesach and they pulled the thing out and it was like something that nobody would have ever found, or was it just no one ever checked? You know, the money was sitting there and the.
Well, it was from the original owner.
The previous owner, right? But if it was, I would say if sometimes things in a desk fall like behind. And those areas, you wouldn't necessarily look like that. That might be similar to over here. Like it could go back a while, but.
The original owner knew about it at one point.
Yeah.
Forgot about
That's true, right? Whereas over here, that is a big difference. Okay, I hear. So let's see the Gemara. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Sakina, what about if somebody stuck a sword or a knife into your wall? So how do you know if it belongs to the people inside the wall or the people outside the wall? So a very simple solution. You look at the handle. Basar Kata, it goes after the handle. So Vikiso, or also a vessel, you go at, let's say a wallet, you look at your schnitzias. You look at the opening of the wallet. Today it would be the zipper, the schnitzia. That's the, in other words, a wallet is like a leather thing where you keep money in, and then there's like laces at the top where you tighten it. So the schnitzia is the, so it, where's the opening? So if the opening's towards the inside, let's read the words. Sakina basa kata, knife, you look at the handle, vikisa basa schnitzia. And the wallet or the purse, you look at the opening. V'alamas nisan, our Mishnah says, mechatzi l'chut shelo. From, if it's on the outside, you could keep it. If it's on the inside, a balabais. For Lexi, let's take a look. Ikata legav, if the handle's on the outside, it's the outside. Onto the inside, it goes to the guy inside the house, slipped it in there. Ikata levar, if the handle's on the outside, oshnitzi legav. Or also, see where the opening of the wallet is, oshnitzi levar. So why did our Mishnah say that Mishnah didn't mention anything about looking at the handle or the opening? Why didn't the Mishnah mention it? So the Gemara answered, Masisim Ujaviniska. The Mishnah is talking about something without a handle. There's or a wallet without an opening. It's either like an udra, which is like a piece of cloth, or niska is like a gold bar. So there's no handle over there. So there, it depends on it. Is it access from the outside or the inside? Tani imayokosa mamula mehen. Now, what about if it's not just one, but the whole wall has them? So then it's split towards the outside and the inside. So mepshita is not avim lo strika ne meshupa b'chad gisa. What if it's like leaning towards one? There's more towards the inside or more towards the outside. So I would have said ishtefuki ishtrik. Maybe it was originally inside and fell towards the outside. Kamash Malon, that you would still split it. So I was trying to picture this, like, usually there's like a crack that you could stick something in, but does the crack go like all the way through, that it could like slip? It sounds almost like you could put it on one side and over time it could work its way to the other. Maybe like logs. Logs would be like that if it's a log. You're like, I can't say I have much experience with stone walls and putting stuff in the cracks, but there's this idea, maybe it's ishtepuke, like it over time it pulled from one direction to the other. That's what we would have thought. Okay.
And Rabbi Stein, it would seem that the handle should be the real giveaway.
Yeah, if it has one, you're correct. But we said we're talking about things without handles. That's the Mishnah was talking about things without handles. But the Gemara is saying, well, what about if they tend to lean towards one, a little bit more towards one side than the other? Kind of, that was the question. So then we said, if you rent it to other people, even inside the house, you could keep it because they're not the owners, they're long gone. So where's the question? Well, why don't you just look at the last person there? Lazel Bas Basra. Look at the last guy there. The last guy who have stayed there, shouldn't it be his? Now, where do you find this idea that if you find something inside, like a rental, you go by the last guy? Where do we get that from? Milo Tanan, didn't we learn the following? Moshe Nimslev Ne Sokri Behema, you find money in Yerushalayim, and the money is found in front of the people that sell animals. They have a certain part of town where you go to buy korbanos, or you go to buy animals to eat, and you find cash over there. So you can assume La'ola Meiser. It's the majority of the money would have been Meiser Sheni, would have been Meiser. You have to treat it with Kedushas Meiser. The Yerushalayim was unique in that people from all over the country would come up and have money to spend there, and it could only be spent on food. And Victor Miller talks about this, like Hashem worked it out, like the system is unbelievable. Basically, anybody that wanted to spend time in the Beis HaMikdash could get inexpensive food. So if you wanted to do something spiritual, he made sure the prices were low. So like it was just easy. Like, you know, like today you go, you know, to certain cities, it's a fortune. You can't, So Yerushalayim had like free lodging, you know, it had all the for the Oli Regolim, and then it had inexpensive food. And so if you wanted to spend a month, hang out at the Beis Hamikdash. It was like you had all this Meisr Sheni money hanging around. People couldn't possibly spend it all. So they would leave it there before they left for people to eat food there. So, but you can assume it's Meisr Sheni money. So what about that? I'm sorry, Bahar HaBayis. If it's on Har HaBayis, then it's Chulin. Even during the holiday, even though it was Meisr, I guess they would spend it. There we assume it fell from before the holiday, which wouldn't have been Meisr Sheni. Ubiyushalayim, and Yushalayim, Bishari, Mosa Shana, Chulin, Ubishasta Regal. During the holiday season, I call Meisr. Everybody brought up their Meisr. The Yom Rav Shim is there at my time. What's the reason? Hoil the Shuki Yushalayim. They clean the streets every day. That must have been pretty good. That's better than we have. We get once a week, right? If we're lucky, right? So they used to clean the streets every day. Alma, I'm meaning kama osli, even though the earlier money had been Meisr Sheni, but basically you can assume that you go with the latest, the most recent kind of money that you'll find. So it's true that the money was one thing a while back, but that money's gone. Vahani achrina, this is the latest money. So once you have that concept over there, that you go with the current season, you go with the current people that are in Yerushalayim, so too over here, when somebody you find something in the house, shouldn't you assume it was the last people there? Hachanami kami kama, the first guys are long gone. Vahani basrahu. So why don't you give it to them? He says that it wasn't a single-use house. If it was a single rental where only one guy stayed there, so then you're right. If you find something, it's his. But since there's three people, then you don't know who to give it to. Now, by the way, we had a debate if you the three Jews, whether you could keep it or not. So Shema Mina, Loch Roshim Belazah, Fil B'Rov Yisrael. You see over here that there's a... The owner gave up hope because there were at least three different people staying in that hotel, even though they were three Jews. But we were debating, is that only by non-Jews or even by Jews? That proves by Jews. No, maybe they had three non-Jews staying in the hotel. And so that's why you could keep it if you find it, because they had at least three non-Jews hanging out there, and it's likely it fell from them, and they ain't coming back. And there's no mitzvah to return it to them. Reb Nachman, Amar Rav Afilu, Tamei Shos Yisrael. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You really don't need three non-Jews. You could have one non-Jew.
So we'll get to the numbers, okay? Yeah, that's Rashi deals with that question: if we're stuck on three or not? Okay, we'll try to do that, Rashi, in a second. So he says, even if you want three Jews, my time, Ahuda Nafu Mina. So with Jews, there has to be at least three, because the guy that dropped it, he's thinking, well, why doesn't one of the other two guys give it to me? If I dropped it, they have it, and it's not where I left it. So one of those other two guys with me has it, and he's going to say the following. Miyayish, he says, Meimro and Mikti, Inishachrina, Loha, it was only us three. So one of these other two guys has it. El, Lahan Yomer, Kame, Kamazmana, Lahadrli. They've had plenty of time to give it back, Velohadrli, and they didn't give it back. If they didn't give it back right away, they ain't giving it back now. So he gives up hope. So if they had wanted to do Hashavas Aveda and give it back, they would have given it back. And the reason they didn't is that they want to steal it. So if a person loses something with at least two other people and he doesn't get it back, he gives up hope because he sees that they one of the two has sticky fingers and is not giving it back. Before we turn the page, so Richard raised an interesting question. So that's why you need two, you need at least three Jews. We're going to see if you have two, at least you know who has your money. So even if he's not giving it to you, as soon as you get the upper hand and put pressure on him, you think you don't give up hope because you could kill, you know who has it. He's not admitting it, but you know he had. At least you've narrowed it down to one person. When you have two, each person is going to say, not me. So that's why you needed three Jews. But why would you need three non-Jews is the question. If there's one non-Jew who doesn't feel obligated to give you what he found, so that should be enough. So there was... Where did I see? There was Rashi discussed this a little bit, whether the
wide lines toward the bottom.
Yeah, L'shloshu Yisrael, second wide line. But Vasach is at the same time, and certainly if they were over Chavim, Misha Nafim Menem Yayish, you don't know who to ask. It's a little further down, like five, six lines down, Shlosha of three non-Jews. Adi Nakat Shlosha Gabi Yisrael. So Rashi answers Richard's question, which is, why does it, you need three non-Jews? So he gives the ID answer. ID means, you're right, it doesn't need it. It's just being uniform. Once we mention three by Yisrael, even one shegetz, one good-for-nothing shegetz is going to take a person's money and not give it back. As long as he was the last one there. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So where do we get this idea if there's two, then you're Mayayish. As we turn the page, if you see two people and one drops it, you got to give it back. The owner gave up hope. My time, Ahuda Nafumina. No, the one that dropped it never gave up hope of getting his money back. The other guy has it, and give him Imam or Omer. He's going to say to himself, Mikti, let's see. Inish Achrina Lo Havi Bahad. It was just the two of us. El Ahaynaki. The other guy grabbed it. Vamina Anahu Deshaklu. I'll grab him when I get a chance, and then I'm going to be able to exert power over him and get him to give it back. Bishlosha, if there's three, Enu Chayav Lahakser, then the person doesn't have to give it back. My time, Ahud Enafumina. The guy that dropped it for sure gave up hope. Meimor Amar Mikti said, let's see, there's two possibilities over here. Hai Bahadi, Inakin, if I try to grab one and I say, you know, give it up. Yeah, Lo Shakilna, he's going to say, I don't got it. Vinaki Lahai, if I grab the other one, he's going to say, Lo Shakilna, not me. So when there's two, at least you have that advantage. You know, there's only one address to go to. Omar Rav, Hai Da Amrish Bishloshein Chayv Lahakzir. That which we said, when there's three people, you don't have to give it back. Lo amen el de lespe shabapruta l'kol chad v'chad. That's only if it's not a big amount of money, where if there's enough money that each person is like sharing it, avo ispe shabapruta, if there's enough for each person to have a shabapruta, l'chad chayv l'hakser, then the person doesn't give up hope because he's thinking, it's not one guy that took it. The other two have taken it and are splitting it with each other. In other words, they see me drop it, and the two of them are saying, all right, I'll take half and you take half. So I'm still, in this case, I'm hoping to grab the partnership and get my money back. My time, emo shutfin in velo miyayish. In other words, if only one person has it, people don't want to give up hope. As long as they think they know who to go to, they hope that they'll convince them to give them their money back. But when there's three people, you're really stuck. You just have no idea. Each one can claim it's the other guy. But if there's enough that they could have split it, so then there's a third possibility. In other words, either one guy has it, or maybe he split it with the other guy. So that's one way to learn this Gemara. Ikid Yamri, some people say, even if there's only two protas, it's got to be at my time. Maybe they're partners. What about the third guy? One of the guys said the two of you could have it. Once there's a significant amount of money, so you tend to believe that maybe both of them have a connection to it. Sometimes robbers like to do that. They like to split. This way they'll both be guilty. And so it's not just one guy, either one guy has it or the other guy. There's a second possibility that they both have it. So that gives the owner it's a straw to grab. And people, as long as there's something to think, maybe he'll get it back, he's not miyayish. Miyayish means that he says, I'm never going to see it. Sometimes people say that, but they're still hoping to see it. But then there's real yish, where a person in their mind, you know, if I didn't get it back until now, it ain't coming back. Okay, another teaching. Omar Rav, Ras Sela Shanafel. Let's say somebody drops his money and you grabbed it before the guy knew it. But Almanasla goes low and you had in mind he dropped it. I'm going to steal it over Bakulam. So if you grab it right, a person grabs it right away, he's going to get the book thrown at him. Shenamar, first of all, lo sigzo, don't steal. This fell out of that guy. The guy's money fell out of his pocket. The guy's a thief. And then, not only that, umushum hashev tishivam. You have a mitzvah to return it, and umushum lo sukh lesalem, and not to hide from it. So three different verses in the Torah obligate you to give it back. Va'afa gavtachas. Now, what happens if you do give it back? You feel guilty, and you decide, I better give it back. So guess what? You don't get the mitzvah. You don't undo what you did. Matanahu. It's a gift to Yaevle. Vesur d'avid avid. But you actually stole it. You stole it. He gave up hope. And then you gave it back. But you're guilty of... Basically, there's the idea of lava nitik lase. A person can do a lav, like taking something that doesn't belong to you, and you can give it back, and you can actually undo the lav. It's true, I took it, but I gave it back. But over here, you took it when it belonged to him, and you kept it so long that he gave up hope of getting it. Now, technically, it doesn't belong to him, even though you have a mitzvah to give it back, but you can't fix what you did. So, in this case, the person, we lahavdu want to get many mitzvahs. You know, we try to get as many mitzvahs as we can. This guy got as many sins as he can. He got three. Now, natu lifnei nias. What happens if when he first took it, he planned on giving it back? Minas lakzira. You know, let me pick this up. I'll give it back to him. And then time goes by. And you know, I kind of could use that money. Ulacha yishnes kavan lagosa. So at this point, it's not theft because he didn't take it from the guy, and the owner gave up hope. But he is guilty of mishum hashev teshivim. He didn't get the mitzvah to return it. Himtin lo ad sheshnaishti, if the owner gave up hope totally, ain't el mishum lo sukhu lesalim. That's all he's of covering his eyes. So it's going to an interesting question about how many lavin the person's going to have. When it all depends on when he takes it or when he decides to keep it. Omar Rav, hai man the chazan of zimachavre, bei chalsa. Person sees the other guys at the beach, and he drops the money in the sand. And Ashkere, and you found it. Vishakle, and you kept it. Lo mechayev ladurile, you're not obligated to return it to him. My time, why? Hahud enough for me now. A guy drops money in the sand. That's a needle in the haystack. Yeah, he gives up hope. Va'af agaf, what about if you?
Number 9, you're gone.
I'm gone. Okay, what happened?
Stein, you're gone.
Uh-oh.
Your voice is...
Hello? Can you hear me?
Broken too.
Should I
Frozen,
huh? Let me try to redo it. Okay, give me a second. Let's see what we can do here. I don't like to be gone. Doesn't sound... Let's see. Kobo has like two Wi-Fis. Let's see what happens. How are we doing? Is that, do you hear me? No, we're totally gone. But it takes a minute or two to reboot. Hello? Can you hear me now, Richard?
I hear you, but I don't see you.
Huh.
There we go.
Okay.
I turned it off and went back on again.
Uh-huh. I switched Wi-Fi, so we'll hope for the best. Okay. So, fascinating thing. A guy drops his money in the sand, and you find it. And you know who dropped it. You could keep it. Because person loses money in the sand, it's gone. He's miyayish. Now, what if you see the guy comes back to the sand with a sifter? He's not giving up hope. Alpha Gavdechaz, you see the icy arbol of a kamarbol. The guy lost his marbles. Marbol means like he has his sifter. He keeps on looking. So doesn't that indicate he doesn't give up hope? So Gemara says an interesting thing. I wouldn't have known that. Gemara says he really did give up hope, but he's thinking, just like I lost my money, maybe I'll find someone else's money. Like, why is he on this mission now with the metal detector or with the sifter? Because he's thinking, you know, it's true. I don't know if I'll ever find my money, but there are a lot of people there. And if I drop money, there are other people drop money there. So it's worth taking the time to sift through it just because maybe I'll get someone's. But you're allowed to keep his because he gave up hope of really getting his. Aye, we see he's looking there. He's just figuring, you know, that's a place where probably people, a lot of people lose money. Maybe I'll find something. It's a interesting philosophy. We could do that. Rashi, well, Rashi just says, Be'kosa, Be'necho, in between the sands. Arbala is a sifter. Okay, new Mishnah. Yeah.
If someone actually hid, like in a big plastic bag, a lot of money in the sand, maybe it's not a lost object. Maybe.
Correct. Yeah, because that's in a plastic bag. But here we're talking like just fell into the sand somewhere. Correct. If there was a wallet or something. Yeah, maybe not. But I guess a coin in the sand would be like, you know. And he reached down and he found it. Right. That's like. That's an interesting. You could earn a living that way, right? You wait for people to lose things, and well, they're miyayish over there. When we were really little, they used to have these wishing fountains in the shopping malls, where you would, you know, they just had water to, but you were supposed to. I don't know how people knew they were supposed to throw their money in there and make a wish, and so the kids, when we were kids, we used to go and help ourselves to the wish. We thought, well, if they're throwing their money down there, then that's free to us. I don't know if the mall appreciated it, but that was that was one of the things that the kids did. So I don't know if they still have that. It was like okay. New Mishnah. Matzi b'chanus. Let's say you're in a store. And you find money in the store, Home Depot, right? So how you could keep it? A lot of people travel through there. It's so nice. Now, what if you find it next to the cash register? Beind hateva lechanvoni, in between the cash register and the storekeeper. So then it belongs shelchanvoni. Then it belongs to the storekeeper. In other words, there was the box where you put the money down, where it goes to the storekeeper. So if it's in the store, that could belong to any of the customers. There's a lot of customers there. The owner gives up hope. But if it's in between the, I want today where you have a video, maybe it's different, I don't know. But in between the box and the store, then it goes to Lifnei HaShulchani. Now, what about if it's in front of the table? It's in front of the cash register, then you could keep it. Bein HaKisei LeShulchani, between the chair and the table, so then it belongs to the shulchan. Shulchan is the banker, by the way. That's the money changer would be on the table. Halokeh peris mechavero shishlach chaver peris. You buy fruits or you send fruits. And surprise, in the fruits you find money. So obviously somebody left it there and it's they forgot all about it. Hey, lishlo, you can keep it. Now, on the other hand, if they're in a bundle, like Steve said, they're in a plastic bag, then you better announce it. And so Rashi, now if they're in a bundle, why? Because you want to return it to the person, and the bundle's a simon, o kesher, o minyan. Either you've got, it's tied in a special knot, or you know exactly how much money was in the fruit. So you have the possibility that you'll be able to return it to the owner. The guy left it there. Apparently in the store, you didn't have that. You didn't have a special, I left it in between this aisle and that aisle. No, it's apparently, it was just found random, and it wasn't a set amount. Let's see the Gemara. Omer Belozer. Well, so there's a certain part that clearly, like behind the table, behind the cash register, that goes to the store. And there's a part where it belongs to the customer. What about if it's in the middle? What's the middle? I feel, what if it's on top of the table? It's not behind the cash register, and it's not in the store, but it's on top of the table. So Rav says, even if it's on top of the table, you could keep it. The Gemara says, wait a second. If you find it in front of the table, then you could keep it. That implies if it's on top of the store owner's table, then the shulchani, it goes to him. But the Gemara says, yeah, but you could, if you want to make an inference, look at the second part. Ben kisei l'shulchani, in between the chair and behind the register and the table, then it goes to the store owner. Ha'al gabei shulchan, but if it's on the table itself, you could keep it. The customer has put the cash down on the table, and then he accepts it and takes it behind the table. So on the table, it usually would belong to the customer. So Gemara said, you're right. You can make the argument both ways. Meha lecha lamashmi. Now, this isn't going to solve the problem because you can make the inference either way. So, v'lozer hamanayla, so where did Rabbi Eliezer get it from? That even on the table, it belongs to the customer. So, Amarava, he learned it, he had a difficulty in the Mishnah. My ear did tani ben kise l'shulchani shol shulchani. Why does it say between the chair and the table it belongs to the owner of the table, to the store, listen the ala shulchan? It should have said that once the money hits the table, it belongs to the owner of the place. Or inami motze b'shulchanis kedektani reisha. If it wanted to be the same, you found it in the table. So the answer is reisha motze b'chanis shalo. Where you found it there. So Shmamina, what you see clearly from the way it said it, that the customer, you can keep it, even if it's on the table. Harein Shalom. Again, once he accepts the deal, he takes the money off the table and puts it into his cash register or his bag. So when it's left, all the customers will put the money on the table. In fact, we had a case where there was only one left and two people put the money there. Or sometimes they just left the money on the table. You know, I left it there for you. You know, sometimes it's like there's a long line of people. Like sometimes like people, they just want to buy a soda or a newspaper. They put it on the table and they go out. You know, like, and I left the money there. He's going to get it. You know, it's like he wants your business. He'll let you just put it on the table. But on the other hand,
So then that should belong to the store owner.
Yeah, that's true.
You put the money down and you're walking out, so it's now the property of the store owner. You pay for your item. You can't just say, oh, find your item, got it.
I think you're right. So I'm bringing a proof not like what we're saying. But in other words, we seem to be saying that the store, it could also be that there's like a long table where you wait in line, you know, and right in front of the register, but we don't differentiate that way. Apparently the table belongs to everybody. I think if you put your money down and you go, you got to put it down right. It's not enough to just put it down anywhere on that. You got to put it right, you know, right where he's going to get it. Okay. So then we said, if you buy fruits from your friend, we will leave this for tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. We had the benefit of no tachlin today, so we have time to do chazara. Yes.
The commentary on the bottom says there's a difference between a money changer's shop and a store owner's shop. So the coins, you said at the money changer shop, both the customer and the money changer placed their money on the counter. Therefore, the coins found on the counter belong to the finder. At a store, however, only the storekeeper places his objects on the counter. Therefore, hence the coins, if they're found there, belong to him.
To who? To the storekeeper or to the...
This brings on the Rambam.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that there's a difference between a money changer or a store owner.
Huh. Okay.
The money changer, that's why it's called a shulchani, that's his place of business. Everything's exchanged on mm-hmm. the tabletop. Okay? And so it's equal domain, so to speak.
I see.
People put their money up on there. So if you find it on there, it belongs to him. I think if we belabored the point, I think they would go like the house, the case with the house and the crack in the wall, maybe even make a line. If it's from this line here, it might belong to the finder. If it's here close to him, it might belong to the money changer, just like... Mm-hmm. If you had two apartments, you know,
right.
Figure out where, how close it is to each side of the wall. But if it's the case of the store owner, only the store owner is the one that keeps his items on the table. Mm. So like you said before, in the case of, okay, I'm going to buy this paper, okay, leave your nickel there and have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
He's coned already because that's the store and that's where he conducts the business. And the others don't conduct the business unless it's a money changer shop.
I see. But the buyers put the money on. I guess the money they put down on the table belongs to the store.
Right, because that's like his chutzner, right? Yeah. He's called once you put the money down on the table.
Very good. Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that.
I can't tell you how many times you go into a place like CVS or whatever, mm-hmm. and you find coins on the tabletop.
Right.
The customer before you or whatever, you know, a nickel, a penny, a quarter, whatever, and mm-hmm. the worker just didn't scoop it up, or they're so busy with whatever, everyone's doing credit cards, and this guy did money. A bill is one thing, but they put down a penny, a nickel, many times.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't even want the change. They just got to go.
Yeah, sometimes I've seen it there. Like, yeah. I'm number 4 or 5 online, and I saw that store. No one's picked it up.
Right.
No one wants it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. So
Speckle
I guess.
Box wants it. Speckle Box wants it.
Right, right.
Okay, have a good day.
You too, have a good day.
Happy
Shushan Purim. You too. Baruch Hashem Purim. All the best.
Hope you had a good time yesterday.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem was La Yehudim. So
very nice.
Good.